Good morning.
Good morning, Bruce.
I'm glad somebody remembers me. It seems like 3 years since I've been up here. We've had two wonderful weekends this past 2 weeks, but I tell you, it seems like forever since I've had the opportunity to speak to you. We're going to look this morning. Title of our lesson is The Gospel. That is a term we use frequently to obey the gospel. Have you heard the gospel? Things like this. We use it a lot. Just want to make sure we all know what is the gospel. Those that might be watching online may have never even heard the term. Hopefully we will be able to be better equipped to take the gospel to others. Hopefully we will be able to share the gospel in our day-to-day travels. What is the gospel? It is translated good news. And the Greek word, if I'm having still trouble with English, but much less Greek, I think it's pronounced euangelion, and it's translated the good news. Absolutely, it's the good news. It's the good news of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. As Preston shared in the comments of the, before the Lord's Supper, how John recorded he was a witness to it. It is not a myth. It is not just a cultural story. John witnessed it. He saw him die. And as a result of that, he was buried. And most impressively, 3 days later, he was resurrected. He died for our sins. That is good news. That is good news that a sacrifice so superior to that of bulls and goats was offered on our behalf because of the love of God. But it's more than just an event of the death, burial, and resurrection. It also includes the teachings of Jesus, the message, how we can benefit from and have access to that salvation that He provided. It's so much more than that. In 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2, Paul, he makes the proclamation, "For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Now you know, Paul knew more than just that fact. But that's the foundation of everything Paul taught. Everything Paul taught worked its way back to Jesus and Him crucified. The good news. Excuse me. Like we said earlier, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus, it's real. It's not a myth. It's not a fable. It is not, a fanciful story with some good lessons to it. It was a real event. It really happened. And I was so impressed with the way Preston reminded us with the communion. It took our minds back to that, to the purpose, to the real event that took place. In John The whole book is based on, the whole Gospel of John is based on belief. And what starts off in verse 1, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. In verse 14 it says, and the Word, Jesus, became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We beheld Him. We saw Him. We talked with Him. We walked with Him along the way. We saw His teachings. We saw His miracles. We sat and ate with Him. He was real. In Luke 1, verse 2, it says, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word delivered, them to us. This is not a concocted, made-up story. These were eyewitnesses that testify of what they saw. The Apostle Peter, this was written later in his life. Peter was there. Peter was alongside Jesus in most of the events that Jesus did, the healings, the teachings. He was there. He saw Jesus do these things, walking on the water. He saw Him after He was resurrected. And Peter makes this proclamation years later, because the questions were already starting to arise. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. Not in Peter's presence say that it was a made-up fable. Don't say that in front of him, because he was there. He knows the difference. He saw the resurrected Jesus. In 1 Corinthians, Paul would write, "For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures." It's not made up. According to the Scriptures. "And that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures." You want to dispute something, you're disputing the Holy Scriptures of God, the prophecies of the Bible. "And that He was seen by Cephas," Peter, "then by the 12. After that, He was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, He was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all, He was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time." It was real. This death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus was real. The good news, the gospel, saves us. The death, burial, and resurrection saves us. In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 and 2, Paul wrote, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand." And I want to stop right there for just a second. A lot of people preach. Not all of those words are received. Jesus said, how many times? Those who have ears, let them hear. Not just physically, but take it in. Not everybody on the day of Pentecost that heard the message received that message. But it did say that those who gladly received the message were baptized and were saved. Which you also received and in which you stand. It's what you're standing on. It's what you're basing your beliefs on. And then at the beginning, the first part of verse 2 says, by which also you are saved. That good news that Paul preached saved us. Our scripture reading that Micah had today was Romans 1:16, and Paul said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. Now we're going to see that just in context of this, it's talking about everybody saved that believes. Nobody that doesn't believe is saved. But we know that there's a few more things required of us other than just belief. But the power of the gospel is it saves us. In Ephesians 1:13 reads, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. That's just another way of the gospel of your salvation, the word of truth. They're synonymous. In whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Again, good news. We have to share it. It just doesn't stop with us. Somebody was good enough to share it with us. Some of us long, long ago. Some of us recently. But we have to then share it with others. That's the Great Commission. Spreading that good news to others. Jesus, one of the last things he told his apostles before he ascended back to heaven was found in Matthew 28, where he told them, go therefore and make disciples. Replicate this. Make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. It's not just teaching them that Jesus lived, died, was buried, and was resurrected. It was and his teachings that we have to share with others. Paul told Timothy, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. This has been going on for 2,000 years. Thank goodness it has. The good news is that it has been going on for 2,000 years. That it just wasn't Timothy that taught some people. Then they taught people. And they taught people. And somebody taught us. And I'm sure every one of us have people in our lives that need to hear that good news. Paul would write in 1 Corinthians, "For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel." Two things here. It is his responsibility as a Christian to share it. But also, he can't not preach the gospel. When you have that good news, how do you keep it shut up? How do you keep a basket over it? You've got to share it with others. There's nothing you can do but do that. But it is also his responsibility. If I preach the gospel, I have nothing to brag about. I'm supposed to be. No pats on the back. I'm just fulfilling what I was told to do. And he says, "Woe is me if I do not preach the gospel." And the last point I'd like for us to look at, not only do we have to share it, we have to obey it and uphold it. It's not a one and done thing. It's not a, okay, I believe that Jesus died, was buried, and was resurrected. Now I'm good to go. Next, what am I doing now? We have to continue to uphold it, obey daily. Galatians 1, Paul was shocked that the Galatians who he had taught were straying from that good news. They were straying and perverting it. He says, "I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel," which is not another. There's not various gospels. But you're turning to a different teaching from what you had heard. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. And then in the next verse, he says that again for emphasis. There's only one gospel. It's not like some of the teachings you hear in the world. Your truth might be different than my truth. There's one gospel, and don't stray from it. "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received." They were preached to it, and they received it. "And in which you stand." You're making this your foundation. You're making this the point of which everything else is that you do is done from. "By which also you are saved. If you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain." Unfortunately, when people fall away, that belief that came long ago, that they received that word, believed it, and it changed their lives, and if they fall away, drift away, they believed in vain. It did not do them any good. The good news becomes horrible news if you stray from it. And then at the end of the the same chapter, Paul writes, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." That's how we have to be with the gospel. Steadfast, immovable. Not straying or wanting to pervert, as he said to the Galatians. Jude will write, "Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly." Not lackadaisically, not haphazardly, not when time allows it, not when you feel like it, not when things are going well, but to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. He would write to the Philippians, Paul did, "Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel." Don't just hear it. Don't just hear it and receive it. Believe it in your heart. Let your conduct be worthy of that good news, of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. I'm going to try to salvage a little bit of something on the outline. I've got that scripture listed twice. I'm going to sound like I wanted it listed twice. Not that I'm a knucklehead and did it twice, but that's how important it is. I'm going to pull that one out of the hat. Salvage it. It is. That's how important this is, that our conduct be worthy of that good news. It's the news that saves us. Close up with 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Here's a good warning that if we don't, what happens? That if we don't remain steadfast, that if we do stray, that if we do pervert the gospel, try to twist it to our own desires, what will happen? When Jesus comes back, this is a description of what's going to happen. It says, "In flaming fire, taking vengeance on two kinds of people. Taking vengeance on those who do not know God." We're not going to be able to use, "Well, I didn't know," as an excuse. Ignorance is not going to save us in that last day. "Taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power." That power is the power of the gospel. It's translated good news, and it absolutely is. It is wonderful news. It saves us. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus, the Son of God, that was given as a sacrifice for us. If you have been baptized, you've obeyed that teaching in the gospel. If you haven't been baptized, you need to be. If there's those watching online, maybe even out of state, urge you to do further study if you have not been baptized. Get a hold of a local Church of Christ and study with a brother. If you need to respond to the invitation through baptism, through prayers, through repentance, if you're in Christ but have strayed, if you've stumbled, repent. That's the remedy. Repent. Whatever you need, please come forward. Let your needs be known while Don leads us in the invitation. Let's stand and sing together.